All right, so we're always keeping an eye on these like global power struggles, right?
Yep, definitely.
And it's clear that the rivalry between the U.S. and China isn't just limited to the land and sea anymore. I mean,
Right.
it's reaching way beyond our atmosphere, straight into space.
Absolutely. It's kind of alarming how quickly space has shifted from a zone of, scientific collaboration
Right.
into like an arena for strategic maneuvering
Yeah.
and, just straight up military competition. It's a new kind of arms race, really.
Yeah, it is. And that brings us to this really interesting and also kind of unsettling development, I think.
Yeah.
We've got these reports coming out detailing China's recent satellite grappling
Yeah,
exercises.
I saw that.
I mean, honestly, when I first heard that phrase, I thought it was like something out of a sci-fi movie,
Right. Yeah.
But the implications are very real,
Oh
potentially.
yeah, absolutely. Like
Yeah.
to understand all this, we've been digging into a report from Defense News,
Yeah.
which draws on observations from the U.S. Space Force.
Okay.
So we've got those observations. We're also looking at some analysis from some experts over at the Taiwan Institute for National Defense and Security Research
Yeah.
to really, try to figure out just how significant all this is.
So, for everyone listening today, our goal is to kind of break down these satellite grappling exercises. What do they really mean?
Right.
We want to look at what's actually happening up there. What does it tell us about this broader, US-China competition that's playing out in space? And then ultimately, what are the potential consequences here on Earth?
Right.
Okay, so let's jump right in.
Yeah.
What exactly are these satellite grappling exercises that we keep hearing about?
Okay, so according to this Defense News report, which came out on March 18th, a U.S. Space Force general basically said that commercial observation systems, they've been tracking Chinese satellites and they observed these satellites engaging in these grappling maneuvers in low Earth orbit.
Okay.
And this has been happening throughout 2024. So it's not a one-off thing.
Right. And are we talking about specific satellites?
Yeah, so we know it involves three satellites that are part of the Experiment 24C program, and then two signals intelligence satellites, the Shijian 605 A and B.
Okay. And so when we say these satellites are grappling, what exactly are they doing?
Right.
It makes me think of them like bumping into each other or
No,
something.
it's much more sophisticated than that.
Okay.
What they observed is actually a series of really, complex and precise orbital maneuvers. You got to imagine, like, you have these two objects moving incredibly fast,
Right.
thousands of miles apart,
Right.
and they're navigating, in this unforgiving vacuum of space to get within just arm's reach of each other.
Yeah.
That's a level of control and precision that's really noteworthy.
Wow.
They were doing rendezvous operations, which is getting incredibly close to other objects.
Okay.
They were doing these close proximity operations. They were bypassing other objects. They were even observed conducting what appears to be inspections of other spacecraft.
Inspections.
Yeah.
So they're like the celestial mechanics up there checking things out.
It's almost like that, yeah.
Wow.
U.S. Space Force Space Operations Command Vice Commander Michael Getlin, he called it space grappling. And basically what he was saying is they're practicing the tactics and techniques and procedures for how to interact with other satellites in orbit.
Right.
One satellite operating in very close proximity to another.
Okay.
So it's not just, bumping into each other. It's very sophisticated.
Yeah, that sounds it. So is this something completely new for China? Or have they done stuff like this before?
Well, the report mentions that China has, they have conducted rendezvous and close proximity operations before.
Okay.
However, what makes this instance stand out is the number of satellites that were involved was higher this time,
Okay.
which suggests that it's a more complex and coordinated exercise. So it indicates, a potential step forward in their capabilities.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. So we have that perspective from the US military. Now, let's get the perspective of some expert analysts. We'll
Okay.
turn to Taiwan and see how they're interpreting these maneuvers and what kind of broader threats they might signal.
All right, so Chow Ju-min, he's a policy analyst at Taiwan's Institute for National Defense and Security Research.
Okay.
And he sees this satellite grappling not just as physical contact, but as like a theoretical concept, for a whole new frontier of space warfare. He laid out several different possibilities.
Okay.
One is using jamming to disrupt communication or navigation systems,
Right.
stuff we rely on every day down here.
Yeah.
Right, I mean, that would have massive consequences.
Oh, absolutely. He also talks about potentially using directed energy weapons like lasers or small missiles to damage or even destroy satellites.
Yeah.
And then there's the scenario of physically approaching a target satellite to capture it or mess with its operation, which ties in directly with this idea of grappling, right?
Yeah.
So it's not just about disabling or destroying. It's about potentially like a more hands-on approach to controlling an adversary's assets in space.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Now, there's another guy, Su Chi Shang. He's an assistant research fellow at the same institute.
Okay.
And he kind of has a slightly different take.
Okay.
He points out that satellite grappling isn't exactly like a dogfight you'd see between fighter jets.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
In the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Because the distances in space are just so vast.
Right.
And orbital mechanics come into play.
It's not like this little, you know, confined airspace.
Exactly. So he argues that any satellite that can maneuver itself close enough to another satellite for a rendezvous could be considered, you know, engaging in space grappling.
Okay.
Regardless of its intentions.
Right. So just the ability to get that close is a show of force, basically.
Pretty much. Su thinks that a lot of these close proximity operations are probably for inspection.
Hmm.
He points out that China has used robotic arms on some of their experimental satellites in the past, which, you know, that technology could be used for repairs.
Hmm.
It seems benign.
Yeah, that doesn't sound too bad. Repairing stuff, you know, keeps things running longer, reduces space debris.
Right.
Yeah.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
Husey makes this really crucial point. He says, since this technology can inspect and repair another satellite, it can certainly also capture or destroy other people's satellites.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's the dual use problem right there.
Right. Right. The same arm that could fix a solar panel could just as easily rip it right off.
Exactly.
Yeah.
However, Chao Jomin also points out that most interactions we're seeing right now are probably defensive.
Okay.
Like tracking other satellites,
yeah.
Establishing these protected zones around their own assets.
Right.
And developing anti-satellite technology. He says, we haven't actually seen any confirmed instances of hostile satellite grappling.
Okay.
At least not yet.
Right. So it seems like it's more about demonstrating capabilities,
yeah.
Showing what they could do.
Right.
More than actually engaging in like hostile takeover or anything.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like flexing their muscles a bit.
Okay. So let's zoom out for a sec.
Yeah.
How do these grappling exercises fit into China's larger ambitions and overall capabilities in space?
It's pretty clear. You know, from Chinese media and their military publications.
Yeah.
That developing anti-space capabilities is a huge priority for them.
Hmm.
They have their reasons. You know, they talk about protecting their national security and all their space assets.
Yeah. We've heard concerns about this anti-satellite technology before.
Right.
What are we talking about specifically?
So back in 2021, a senior Chinese military official basically said that they had been testing anti-satellite missiles since 2005.
Wow.
There's also been reports about them developing an experimental anti-satellite satellite with a robotic arm.
Right.
That same dual-use tech we were just talking about.
Yeah. That is interesting. And when we're talking about China's space program, who's really in charge?
Right.
Is it like a civilian agency like NASA is here?
Not really. Their whole space infrastructure is actually run by the military.
Mm.
Even though their official statements say it's all about peaceful exploration.
Right.
It's the military that controls their launch facilities, their tracking stations, even their mission control.
Mm.
And most of their astronauts have military backgrounds too.
Okay.
Which, you know, kind of adds to the secrecy around their program.
Right. That paints a very different picture than the, you know, peaceful scientific exploration narrative.
It does, yeah. And Su Chi Shang points out this deep connection between China's space capabilities and their nuclear weapons and ballistic missile programs.
Mm.
I mean, the rocket technology for launching satellites is essentially the same as for launching warheads.
Right. Right. It's two sides of the same coin, really.
Yeah.
Any advancements in one area benefit the other.
Exactly.
So the lines get really blurry there.
Yeah.
Shisu also mentions that ever since that two bombs, one satellite program decades ago.
Right.
China has been pouring tons of resources and top talent into space tech.
Yeah.
This has been a long-term goal for them.
A big priority.
Yeah. So why are they so focused on space right now? What's driving this?
Well, Hsu connects it to how warfare is changing. Modern military operations rely heavily on space.
Mm.
You know, precision strikes, surveillance, even communication satellites. We saw how important those were in the conflict in Ukraine.
Absolutely, yeah.
So strong space infrastructure is essential for the modern military.
Yeah, it's not just about having satellites for basic stuff anymore.
Right.
Space is like built into the entire military machine.
Yeah, it's a critical domain for multi-domain operations. That's what the U.S. military calls it.
Right, okay. And I think it's pretty clear to a lot of observers that China is working on developing space weapons.
Yeah, and U.S. Space Force Commander Chance Saltzman has even said he's concerned about the speed at which China is developing these weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And the Pentagon's own assessments suggest that China's space activities are part of this bigger goal of, you know, global technological and strategic dominance.
Right. So this is about more than just a possible conflict in space.
Yeah.
It's about changing the whole balance of power here on Earth.
Exactly.
Mm.
And, you know, some experts even think a future conflict between the U.S. and China might actually start in space.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a scary thought.
It is. Yeah. What are the main concerns there? How might that play out?
Well, the big worry is these weapon systems that China is developing that are designed to target things in space.
Okay.
Things like missiles that can be launched from the ground or even from space.
Mm.
They can take out satellites or the ground stations that control them.
Yeah.
And then there's the high-powered lasers.
Right.
That can disable or damage satellites.
Yeah.
And those can be ground-based or space-based.
Right. I remember hearing about China developing lasers. Are there any specific events that raised concerns?
Yeah, actually, back in 2005, there were reports of a Chinese military laser test in Xinjiang.
Okay.
And they apparently targeted a low Earth orbit satellite about 600 kilometers away.
Mm.
And then there was a 2011 report from the U.S.-China Economic and Security Review Commission, and they talk about four separate cyber intrusions into two U.S. government satellites.
Wow.
That happened in 2007 and 2008.
So it's not just about physical destruction.
Right.
Cyber attacks are a big deal, too.
Absolutely. They could cripple a satellite just as effectively.
Hmm.
And in 2019, the DIA warned that China would probably have a ground-based laser weapon ready by 2020.
Okay.
That could take out low-Earth orbit sensors and damage satellites.
So it seems like this is a really intense competition.
Yeah.
With some potentially serious consequences.
Right.
So how is the U.S. responding to this? How are they trying to maintain their advantage?
Well, Chao Jiaomin argues that the U.S. Space Force has to be able to deter and, if necessary, defeat aggression in space.
Okay.
To keep their advantage.
Deterrence is super important, but what does that look like in space?
Well, Chao Boy points to the U.S. strategy of putting more satellites into orbit.
Okay.
And also building these low-cost, resilient satellite networks.
Okay.
The idea is that if you have a larger, more spread-out network,
right.
If China does take out a few satellites, it's less damaging.
Okay.
Than if they took out, like, one super important one.
Yeah, makes sense. Kind of like not putting all your eggs in one basket.
Exactly. And Su Qixiang had some interesting thoughts on those grappling satellites.
Okay.
He said it's unlikely that China's making a ton of those Experiment 24 satellites.
Okay.
Or that they're cheap.
Right.
He thinks they're still in the testing phase
mm-hmm.
more than anything.
Okay.
And he made this really interesting point about the economics of it.
Okay.
He said it wouldn't be very cost effective for China to use expensive anti-satellite missiles on those huge low-Earth orbit constellations.
Okay.
Like Starlink.
Right.
Because those satellites are cheap and they don't last that long.
Right. It's like using a really expensive hammer to smash a bunch of cheap nuts.
Exactly.
Okay. What about the higher-value satellites?
Right.
The ones that are more critical and are further out?
Yeah. Well, those are much harder and more expensive to target. And Xu also talked about another advantage the U.S. has.
Okay.
Which is that satellites are becoming more and more aware of their surroundings.
Okay.
And they can react to threats.
Mm-hmm.
Like they can change their orbit to avoid getting intercepted.
Wow.
And the U.S. is really good at that.
Okay. So it's not just about how many satellites you have.
Right.
It's how smart they are.
Exactly.
Mm.
And Chao Jiaomin brought up another point that I thought was really interesting.
Okay.
He said that the importance of space for national security goes beyond just military operations,
mm-hmm.
like offensive capabilities.
Oh, right.
He said there's this whole ideological dimension to it.
Okay.
Like space tech is seen as a sign of a nation's overall technological development.
Mm.
And they're standing on the world stage.
Right.
So the U.S. and China are kind of competing to show who's more advanced.
Yeah. So it's a bit of a prestige thing, too.
Totally. It's like bragging rights.
Right.
And Su Qixiang added that space has become a top priority for China under Xi Jinping.
Yeah.
They're investing a ton of resources into it.
Mm.
And it's fueled by nationalism and this idea of the Chinese dream.
Right. It's tied into their national identity.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But Hu Su also argues that despite all this investment, China might be missing something that the U.S. has.
Okay.
Which is the kind of innovation and flexibility that you see in the U.S. space industry.
Right.
He thinks China's more controlled system might actually make it harder for them to adapt and respond to challenges.
Mm. Okay. So a more top-down approach might not be as good for quick innovation.
Right. Because they might not be as good at tolerating mistakes.
Okay.
Or coming up with new ideas on the fly.
Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah. And Hu Su also brought up these recent purges in China's military-industrial complex.
Yeah.
Like the removal of Li Shangfu, who was involved with their missile forces.
Mm.
We don't know how that will affect their space program.
Right. It could speed things up or slow things down.
Exactly. It's another layer of uncertainty.
So what are the main takeaways here for our listeners? What's the big picture?
Okay. So first, it's clear that China is practicing the satellite grappling.
Right.
They're showing that they have the ability to do these complex maneuvers in space.
Mm.
And while it might be for peaceful purposes right now,
yeah,
the fact that they could use it offensively is definitely a concern.
Right. Especially given this growing competition with the U.S.
Exactly. And even though China says they're all about peaceful use of space,
mm-hmm.
it's clear that their military is heavily involved in their space program.
Yeah.
So that's worrying for a lot of countries.
Right.
And we're seeing two very different approaches from the U.S. and China.
Hmm.
The U.S. is focusing on building lots of satellites.
Right.
Making sure their networks are spread out.
Yeah.
And they're really taking advantage of their commercial space industry.
Okay.
China's investing heavily from the top down.
Hmm.
But they might not have the same kind of innovative spirit.
Okay.
That could end up being a problem for them.
So it's a fascinating competition.
Oh, yeah.
And it's happening right above us.
Right above us, yeah.
With some potentially huge implications for everyone.
Absolutely. And it makes you wonder,
yeah,
you know, with how dependent we are on space.
Right.
For communication, navigation, everything.
Right.
What does this competition mean for global security?
Yeah.
For stability, mm. even for our daily lives?
Yeah. Those are definitely some questions to think about.
Definitely. As this space rivalry keeps heating up.
Absolutely. Hmm.